Welcome, everyone, to the Healing of Agape this week, and thanks for listening. You're going to have to listen to me talk tonight by myself, because we were supposed to have Bill Tiller on, but something happened. I don't know what, but he wasn't at his phone. So we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about the power of intention in your own life. We're going to talk about medical intuition and how to detect illness before it gets into your body. And if we have time, we're going to talk about the end of the world. What should we do about that? And what does that mean to us? So the first thing I want to talk about is, I tell this story all the time. You wouldn't stand in a metal fishing boat in a lightning storm. I don't guess you would. I know that I wouldn't. But the reason for that is because water conducts electricity, obviously. Well, what do you think happens when you think a thought? A mini lightning bolt is created within your brain, and it jumps from synaptic gate to synaptic gate to synaptic gate. Well, you know, that lightning bolt has no idea that it strikes that metal fishing boat, and that mini lightning bolt in your head has absolutely no idea that it's contained within a bone in your head, that it's contained within a skull, because quantum mechanics has already proven that there is no mass on the quantum level, so there's no distinction between you and anything else, the tree or the car or your sibling or the person that lives next door. Everything is just one field, period. So what I think happens here is when you think a thought, and this is my theory, but it's a theory that Bill Tiller and Brenda Dunn at Princeton and a lot of other people say, you know what, it's as good a theory as any, because this response has got to come from somewhere, and this is a logical theory. So what I think happens is that when you think a thought, you oscillate either a proton, which is a positively charged molecule, or an electron, a negatively charged molecule. And I don't think it's on the meta level where they can see it with microscopes, but I think it may be at a smaller level, like in quarks and gluons, or maybe on the irreducible unit. I'm not really sure, but I do know in my heart that this is where it comes from. So if you oscillate an atom, whether it be a proton or an electron, depending on whether it's a positive or negative thought, it's going to cause that atom to oscillate. And we all know, well, science knows that when an atom oscillates, it transmits and receives at the same time. It's like a radio transmitter, kind of like a revolving door. You know, it just keeps on spinning and continuing the air to go both in the building and out the building being your body. So when that happens, that's what I believe to be the scientific reason of why what goes around comes around in your life. So if you have shit going on in your life, you need to reevaluate your thoughts and how you send them out there, because we don't typically stop and think about the intention that's behind every thought. You know, Dean Radin, Bill Tiller, Bill did the experiment with the fruit fly larva that we've talked about many times, and the pH experiment where with just simple intention, he raised the pH of water on the other side of the country by a whole point. And then he did it again and lowered the pH controlled water, across the country. And we all know that if you change your pH by simply a quarter of a point, you die. So that's a pretty substantial thing. So imagine what happens if you're thinking thoughts. And one reason I think this is important for the world to think about, I used to work for this law firm that represented Owens Corning in the asbestos litigation. And we used to do things to these people, the plaintiffs. I can't believe that we did it now when I step and look back, but I was so stupid I didn't realize it. We used to find out the birthdays and the anniversaries and the important dates in those people's lives, and we would deliberately set hearings or depositions and whatever we could, and we would set them as far away from the person's house as possible just to inconvenience those people's lives, and we would laugh about it. Well, now we see what happened to Owens Corning, and the law firm went under that I used to work for, so now we know why. And in my field, in the area of litigation, you know, we're under a lot of stress. It's hard because we're not under self-imposed deadline. Every deadline that we do is a statutory deadline, and we either meet that deadline or we get put in jail by the judge or we get sued for malpractice. But I got to thinking about this the other day. How many lawyers that I know that's had 4 or 5 marriages, several bypass surgeries or strokes or multiple cancers, 3 or 4 secretaries a year because they can't keep anybody because they have outrageous tempers that the average public doesn't usually see because it's behind closed doors. Well, it makes the staff behave terribly. I mean, everybody's fighting for that power position to work for the partner, and nobody wants to fess up for a mistake when it is made. So the stress in a law firm is terrible. And it made me stop and think, well, what's happening there? I mean, every single thought they do, just about, whether you do plaintiff's work or defendant's work. I mean, plaintiff's work is usually to help somebody, but a lot of times those plaintiff's cases are simply about greed and getting some money. And I know that because I do it for a living. So if that's true, then the lawyers are a good example of what goes around comes around, because their whole lives get messed up. And I know there are a lot of other businesses like this, but I'm particularly familiar with this one because of what I do. So if you'll change your perception about what's going on around you, change the way that we litigate these cases. I mean, lawyers are probably some of the most powerful people in the world. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of power. You know, most of them are in political positions. You need to know that the shit in your life is caused because of the way that you're treating other people. And it's time for you to stop and take a look at what you're doing within your firms, within the businesses, and within your own family life, because it matters. You know, if you stop doing these things and you get in the moment and treat each other like you want to be treated, your sick time of your employees will cut back. Your productivity in your law office situations will increase because your employees will get along better because you're treating them better. Your wife will be happier. Your girlfriends, I know there's, I mean, everybody will be happier. You'll stop having so much chaos in your life. In addition, your health will get better because every time you do this, every time you get a negative emotion, your heart sends an impulse to your brain that's interpreted like kind of like the Morse code, because that's the way electrical impulses go through our body. And it causes neurotransmitters and neuropeptides to be released. And each neuropeptide or neurotransmitter is affiliated with a particular organ or a particular body system in your body. So if you have a lot of sickness that's going on, that tells you that something's going on with the thought that you're creating in your life. You know, stop doing that. Get in the moment. Do some meditation practices, because what I think happens there is when you get still and get in the moment and meditate, then you oscillate a neuron or the neuron is the particle that has no charge. So it causes nothing to happen but to bring some instant peace into your life. You're manifesting your next 10 years right now with the thoughts that you think. So if you get control of those thoughts in the next 10 years of your life, the next 10 years of your business, the next 10 years of all of your relationships are going to be better. Your health is going to be better. It can't help but do it, because it's those thoughts that are creating those electrical impulses in your life. So if you stop and think about how much power you have, if Bill Tiller can change pH in a glass of water by a whole point with simple thought, then you can change your life. You don't have to change everything that goes in it, but you can change your perception of what's going on in your life and behave differently. When you're having problems, if this is lawyers or the people on the other side of your cases, stop and think about how you would like to be treated if you were on the other side of that case, and do that thing, because the lawyers have more power than just about anybody else in the world. And that's the power of intention in just a short story. Now, another thing that I wanted to talk about was somebody asked me the other day, what can we do to prepare and prevent the end of the world happening in chaos? So I thought about that for a while, and I got to thinking, if intention is really that powerful, then it's our intention that's causing these problems, such as the stuff that's going on in Iraq right now. The intention of somebody is doing that, and look what the result of it is. You know, look what's happening. We're killing women and children because grown-ups are hiding behind these people. instead of letting these people live their lives in peace, we're going in there and blowing up the whole city and blowing up all their buildings, forcing our technologies on them. You know, it's important that they get to live their lives like the way they want to, not the way we want to. Another thing that needs to be considered about the end of the world, because the end of the world is not, I don't believe, is going to come crashing down all in an instant and blow up with monsters or beasts or whatever it is, devils coming around after us. What I think is that we're going to have what's happening in Iraq on our doorsteps. It's already happening. People just aren't recognizing it for what it is. You need to consider what it is that you're teaching your children. Did it ever occur to you that the future of the world is in their hands? Are you afraid of what that's going to be? Have you ever thought about whose fault it is? Have you ever thought that it's your fault or our fault, my fault, your fault, because of the values that we're teaching our children? We could start by teaching our children to love one another as they love themselves. But then somebody said to me, well, what about the kids that don't love themselves? Well, you could help those children, even if they're adults right now, because if you expose someone to agape, unconditional love, something happens. Your electromagnetic field changes. The dilation of your pupils change. The temperature of your skin changes. Your breathing patterns changes. Chemicals get excreted like norepinephrine that causes your heart to be flooded with blood, and that feels good. Something happens. So it's something that can't be rejected because it feels so good. It's that thing that's sought by every person in the world. And these children that don't know love themselves or don't know love, it's an experience that they haven't known because nobody's ever loved them. They were either raised by insensitive parents who didn't know agape themselves, or by parents who were conditioned by authorities to hate. And people say, well, what do you mean? What kind of authorities? Well, those kinds of authorities right in front of your faces, like the churches, the schools, the day camps, affiliations, the clubs, the gangs, the peer groups. So pay attention to where both you and your children go for fun and entertainment, because those are the things that's conditioning them. You know, the churches are conditioning them. The only way you're going to get to God is by going through our church. Something is wrong with you if you don't go to our church or this church or that church or the church over there. Or if you don't wear a certain kind of clothes, or if you don't drive a certain kind of car. Well, I have, you know, people, I've been to the other side, and that's not true. It doesn't matter what religion that you believe, because I was raised as a fundamental Baptist, and then when I got grown, I converted to a conservative Jew. You know, that's two ends of the far extreme of the spectrum. And I can tell you something. No matter which of those religions I practiced at the time, I had prayers answered from both of them. Because the God that everybody's worshiping, it's the same God, whether we call him Buddha or Jesus or Christ or Source or Spirit or God or whatever other names are out there. I mean, it's no different from us, me being called Mommy or Eva or Mrs. Her or Mother or Lady or whatever it is. I mean, we all know who it is. Don't you think if there were one God out there that were more powerful than another God, he would make himself known? You know, he's not going to, if that were true, he's certainly not going to stand by and let us say somebody else is more powerful than he. Which brings to another thing. I personally don't think that there's a God, a human being sitting up on a throne somewhere. I think that God is Source, maybe contained in the vacuum. And that's the power of the intention that pushes each one of those electrons or those protons or atoms to move. Something's got to make them move. What else could it be? You know, something's got to do it. Now people say to me, well, what about those children who've progressed to adulthood that don't treat people nicely? And so I tell them, you know, these kids that get involved in gangs, they're confused about what they've been conditioned to be. But if you treat them like you want to be treated, it will plant a seed and they will start to wonder why they were taught hate. Let's say for in these religious things, a Jew and an Arab, or a Christian and an atheist. You know, if the atheist treats the Christian like he wants to be treated, it will make the Christian start thinking, uh-oh, why am I hating this person? Or if the Jew treats the Arab or the Arab treats the Jew like they want to be treated, it will make them wonder, why do I hate this person when I don't even know them and they're kind to me? It'll plant a seed, and they'll start wondering, why do I hate that person? Because that's a consequence of agape. People just get lost, and so they start seeking attention, and they confuse camaraderie with love. You know, there's a big difference. Camaraderie is spending time with people of like minds. Love is spending effort with those of like heart. So if you only spend time with camaraderie and nothing else, how will you know that there's anything else? For lack of love is simply ignorance of the heart. Teach the hearts of other people what it feels like to be loved. Like I said, there's a chemical reaction that goes on. You'll know it. In fact, if you get into an argument with somebody, watch what's happened if you just stop abruptly and go, I honor how you feel and I'm sorry. You know, whether you're sorry about what happened or whether you're sorry you hurt them, it doesn't matter. Be sorry that they're hurting. You know, watch what happens on their face. You'll see that something happens. The next thing that you could do to promote peace in the world and to do something with your intention is write your politicians. Tell them that you oppose war and that you support the use of mentors in the form of elders. As I can tell you, there's not a 90-year-old out there that wants to go to war with some kind of Uzi or some kind of rifle and shoot somebody's head off. Elders will not waste time with war. They'll spend their time productively solving the problems for themselves and their people as opposed to the problems of conditioning. They'll be concerned with the people's injustices, not the banks and the finance companies. They'll want the people to have food and clothing and medical care and clean water and not the industrial pockets of the few. You know, talk to your elders when you have problems. It's the elders that you should be going to. And I can't imagine some 30-year-old senator know what is the best thing for the world. I mean, they haven't even lived your life yet. Most of them were grown up in, you know, silver-lined pockets, and they haven't even had terrible things to deal with. They don't know what a dark night of the soul is because they've been spoon-fed. How do they know how to deal with problems? You know, look to your elders for advice. They've been there. They've done it. And the last thing that they want to do is fight some more. Another thing that you could do is write the pharmaceutical companies and tell them that you want clean medicine and not the toxins that they're now manufacturing to, quote, cure our illnesses. The things these pharmaceutical companies are putting out on these markets, let's take, have you watched the advertisements on TV lately? Let's take that new one that they have for Dr. Jarvik that did the heart. I think it's Lipitor that he does. He talks for 5 minutes, and I'm probably exaggerating here on the time, about all the bad things that this drug does to you, but it does lower your blood cholesterol. But it does damage the rest of your body. You have to talk 5 minutes about all the bad things before he can tell you one good thing. Or what about these new erectile drugs? They talk for another 5 minutes to tell you all the bad things that they do rather before they can tell you the one good thing that it does. Well, did you know that there are things that you can do like enzymes to eat away plaque? You know, you got to know how to do those enzymes, and I'm not the person to tell you how to do it. But there are books out there. There's a real good one called The Complete Book of Enzyme Therapy. Educate yourself. There's no need for everybody to run out down to the hospital and get, you know, triple bypasses and take Coumadin and Lipitor. And by the way, they forget to tell you that when you take these drugs and that you pee out all your fluid that, oh, we forget to tell you that you don't have any potassium left over, so you're going to have restless leg syndrome. But by the way, our pharmaceutical companies have made a new drug to fix that restless leg syndrome, but it does 5 minutes worth of damage, descriptive damage to your body. Well, why don't you just take some potassium, drink some extra water, and take some magnesium or something like that? You know, ask your doctor about this. Go to your naturopath. I mean, simple form of potassium relieves restless leg syndromes, and I'm not diagnosing here, but I know it for a fact because I do it myself. When I get low on potassium or when I was having some heart problems a while back, my doctor wanted to give me a prescription for some restless leg thing. And I said, well, why don't I just take potassium? He goes, oh, well, that is the problem. I don't understand that. You know, potassium is $5 a the drugs they want to save, what, $200, and you take off 80% for your insurance, and you still got to pay 50 or something like that, you know. Do something about these pharmaceuticals taking away your supplements, or excuse me, at least trying to put it so that the milligrams are reduced so that you have to get a prescription. That's coming, people, and you should check out www.citizens.org to find out about that. Or I did a show with a guy, an attorney in Washington named Jim Turner, that's on my archives. Don't let these pharmaceutical companies ruin your lives. Look into alternative therapies. They are there and they work. The glyconutrients, for one thing, you know, that's the only thing that I know that can rebuild receptors. Why does your doctor not tell you about this? Ask him. Tell him you want to know about the glyconutrients that rebuild receptors. Receptors on cells are the key to everything, along with enzymes. Another thing that you could do is lobby the large insurance companies, you know. Bombard them with emails. It's so easy to do. These people are making hand over fist in dollars because they're depriving people of the medical care they deserve because of small print. They're depriving them of the medical coverage that they're paying for by manipulating these contracts with lawyers in small print. You need to let them know that you know that alternative medicine works and that you expect that their medical coverage to cover it just like it does anything else. You deserve to get the kind of care that you want to have for your body, not necessarily because it's paid for by a pharmaceutical company. Check into how many pharmaceutical companies give money to the senators and have lobbyists up there, and how many pharmaceutical companies, you know, take money to do things, and how many pharmaceutical companies cause naturopaths to get put in jail because of hydrogen, using simple solutions like hydrogen peroxide. I mean, it's just amazing. I have trouble dealing with it, to tell you the truth. You know, so anyway, integrity does come into play when it's their own problem, though. At that time, they expect those people around them, I'm talking about the insurance company, they expect those people around them issuing the care to act with great integrity when it comes to their family and their lives at stake. And don't you think for one minute that they won't go and use that hydrogen peroxide solution that they put somebody else in jail for. You know, these are the people who really need to learn the importance of treating others like you want to be treated. For it's only when they are treated like they treat others will they learn. Another thing that I think people ought to do is address, make yourself known in Congress. Get up on the floor for the people of you that live near a state capital or Washington, our country's capital. Go up there. You know, these people, they're not gods, and they don't own you. You put them there. Make them work for you. These people know the significance of treatments like hydrogen peroxide, but they deny them to you to put money in their own pockets. But I can tell you something, not one of them would go without it if they needed it. But you try to get your doctor to treat it with you, and they'll take his license and throw him in jail. These people are vultures of society, not celebrities on a pedestal, and don't you look at them that way. You're just as important and as powerful as they are, but you got to do it with the masses. You know, one person's not going to be able to accomplish anything. You've got to do this with your friends and your neighbors and your churches and your people that you work with. Another thing that you ought to do, because the world's in trouble right now, a guy named Lester Brown, a friend of Edgar Mitchell's that he hooked me up with, wrote a book called Plan B2. Take a look at that book. Our natural resources are running out, and according to this book, and this man is a historian and a statistician, if I'm not mistaken, our salt tables are running out, our water's running out, our fuel's running out. All of our natural resources are running out, and I don't, according to this book, if it's right, and you know, who am I to say whether it is or not, but at least educate yourself and find out for yourself. I don't think we have resources to go beyond 2012. At least that's what it says. Now, that's kind of interesting in itself, since the Mayan calendar ends in 2012. You know, what that means, I have no idea, but it's certainly something to think about. All the prophets and the mystics and a lot of the physicists like Amit Goswami and Elmer Green, a lot of them are saying we're in trouble 2012. At the current rate of growth of population and the current use of natural resources, we're in trouble. So another thing I think that you ought to do or consider doing is write your fuel company representatives in hordes, for that's what it's going to take, all the king's men and all the king's horses, to change their positions on the fuel they provide. A change in fuel is absolutely necessary if this world is expected to continue in any fashion worth inhabiting. If the world doesn't change its fuel supply, preferably to one of hydrogen, then we're never going to be able to replenish itself. If we were to change it to one of a hydrogen-based solution, where hydrogen would be the byproduct, then the ozone could replete itself, because hydrogen is the building block of everything it is. So with all the free radicals, all the free building blocks are taken up. So things can't regenerate themselves like they used to. Trees, water, our air that we breathe. So if we did that, it would rain clean water. Clean water would replenish the oceans. Replenishing the oceans with clean water would restart the food chain. Restarting the food chain would give us clean food to eat. I mean, there's a lot of things that would happen to save this world if you would simply lobby your fuel companies to change what they're doing. So if you want there to be more building blocks upon which the world to replenish itself, then you need to replace the blocks that have already been built upon before the blocks are all filled up. Let's take the ozone, for example. It consists of approximately 99% of hydrogen at its conception. Now it consists of approximately 79% hydrogen. The other 20% has been built upon by polluting substances. So if you don't replace that 20% that's been used, what's going to happen? It's already happening. People just deny it. The weather patterns will change. They're already changing. They've changed more in the last 30 years than it's changed in all history as you know it. Now, I know that there's a bunch of people on the news that say, oh, well, this is just a pattern. These are patterns that happen. But there's never been filthy water like this in the entire eternity of the world. So that's not a pattern. You know, don't take what the media says, because mass media breeds mass ignorance. Do some research for yourself. You know, do not listen to what those people say. Another thing that you could do to change the world is through television. What is it you want your children to see? Do you want them to see arms and legs torn off, heads eaten off by monsters from outer space, or would you prefer the values of Andy Griffith? Andy Griffith, as old as it is, has made an impact on so many of us since we were kids. I mean, think about it. It's the way everybody wants life to be. So why on earth are we going to the movies and paying millions of dollars to these people to produce these kind of movies to teach our children how to blow off arms and legs? I just don't understand it. So if you want to make a change, why don't you insist on the television moguls to produce more television shows of moral value? Because there's plenty of research out there that will prove to you, I mean, lots of it and lots of it. I spent some time last week just looking at this. When children play violent video games or watch violent television shows, there's evidence that it makes them be paranoid about the people going to do things to them. As they grow older, it makes them suspicious of the world, but it also treats them a way to treat other people, and it's not the way that we want it to be done. I mean, treating other people by blowing out their arms and legs is not the way to do it. You know, write your moguls, the television moguls. Tell them what you want. Or watch movies. There's a new spiritual thing called spiritual cinema that puts decent, thought-provoking movies out, like What the Bleep, The Indigo Children, The Peaceful Warrior. I mean, there's lots of them. Do you even have any idea what they are? They're movies about higher consciousness. Movies to help you realize who you are and the powers you possess as a spiritual being. They break the barriers of physical reality as you know it. Get these kinds of things to look at. Now, I keep referring to physical reality instead of the world, because the world is really just a figment of our imagination. I mean, quantum mechanics is absolutely proven without a doubt there is no mass on the quantum level. It's just frozen matter. Due to observation, when we observe the atoms, the electrons, they simply freeze, they collapse. So if the world is just a figment of our imagination, you can make it be what you want. You can change the role of the movie. It doesn't have to continue going like it is. The world as a mass consciousness, or the world in your simple, in your particular life, you can change it with thought. Because the world is simply mass and matter put together in a form of organized chaos. Just look under a microscope. Go down to your local college physics department, look under a microscope to ever how far you can see to break down a particle of mass. There will be some form of sticky matter holding it together, but there will not be any solid matter no matter how far you look, for it doesn't exist. Solid matter, as you know it, is simply particles of mass stuck together, and particles of mass are simply a clump of atoms, and atoms are simply particles of mass. So another thing you could do to change the world against destruction is to contact your actors' guild or your favorite actor. Write them, email. I mean, it's not hard to find an email address. 5 minutes on Google and you've got whatever you want. Ask them to request more roles in films of higher consciousness. If you had Julia Roberts playing a role of higher consciousness, don't you think it would have an impact on the world? Or even the bad guy of modern movies, Robert De Niro, playing a role of enlightenment. Don't you think it would make a difference? People idolize these people. They want to be like these people. So if these people are doing things of higher consciousness, then the world would want to be more like them. These people could make a dent in violence like you cannot believe if you would just get them to participate. However, these people want to act in roles in movies that you will, that they know you will go and pay for. So in essence, it's you that decide what roles will be played and what movies they will be acting in. You have to do something. You have to say that you're tired of seeing arms and legs torn off. Another thing that you could do is coordinate a medical clinic in your neighborhood that utilizes alternative medicine, because alternative medicine is the wave of the future. It is what will keep you alive when nothing else will. Everyone that has any knowledge of medicine knows that everything that exists is all based on frequency. So it's only logical that medicine for your health needs to be frequency-based. There are lots of things out there, people, lots of frequency machines, blood zappers that cure cancer. And I know I had a skin cancer on my arm about a month or two ago, about the size of a pencil eraser. It had that flaky stuff on the top, and underneath it had a tumor about the size of a pencil eraser. Well, I put this little blood zapper thing on it for 30 minutes a day for 4 days in a row, and I was actually shocked. I mean, even though I preach this to the world that these things work, it shocks me, you know, at how easy and how fast it works. In 4 days, that entire tumor had melted. It left a hole underneath the skin because there was no, you know, I didn't have any kind of incision there. But after about a month, that complete hole filled in, and now I don't have a big hole in my arm where I had to go get it cut out, which is what most people do. You go get a cancer cut out, and then you have, you know, a big hole there where it was, and it doesn't fill in. But this filled in, so now I don't even have a scar. So that's one thing that you could do. It's a known fact that the organs and systems of your body are composed of cells, all of which vibrate at a certain frequency or speed. And it's only logical that if these cells are not vibrating at the speed they're designed to vibrate at, they will not perform at their optimum level. People, you're in control, and all you need to do to exert that control is to band together. Not be afraid, not look at politicians like they're gods or put them up on pedestals, but you put them there, make them do what you want them to do. Tell your friends, your relatives, to tell their friends and relatives, educate them. You now have the knowledge of what to do to perfect the future of you and your children, so you have no excuse now not to know what to do. But I did forget one thing. The most important aspect of participation of the masses. The masses, it's got to be done with the masses. It takes effort to do these things, not much, but effort just the same. It doesn't take much energy to bombard everyone you know or that I've mentioned with emails and letters, not to mention phone calls. And we have cell phones with unlimited long-distance calling. for these are the things that are needed to prevent the end of the world as you know it. Not the end of the world, but the end of the world as you know it. Mind you, the world won't end, but like I said, it will end as you know it. The luxuries of life can be taken away with the snap of a finger. So why not snap your finger before somebody else does and have it your way, as the old saying goes. Have it your way before someone else does, because their way might not be what you have in mind. So that's what I think about the preparation for the end of the world. I don't think that it's going to come crashing down through us, but I do think that the power of intention, I don't even think, I know it. I mean, science has proven it. Dean Radden, Bill Tiller, Robert John, many people. If you're interested in finding out about stuff like that, there's a conference every year called the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energies and Energy Medicine. It's held in Boulder, Colorado each year, and every year they have scientists from around the world with the most cutting-edge information available that is as it relates to health and science supporting consciousness. So that's a little bit of information that you can use to know what you can do to change the world. Now, since I have a few minutes left, we're going to talk just a little bit about disease in your life. I think everybody knows I'm a medical intuitive, and I've only had this gift for about 3 years. I had this kind of spiritual epiphany, and I just woke up with it one day. But disease presents subtly about 10 years before it manifests in the physical body. And we know that it develops on the etheric level first. Norm Shealy, Dawson Church, Bill Tiller. If you go to tillerfoundation.com, Bill's got some archives on there that has some of his white papers that talk about how this happens. And I know that Norm Shealy and Dawson Church just put out a new book called Soul Medicine that talks about this. But it presents subtly. Know that if you have any kind of tenderness or heat sensation in your body that comes and goes in a particular place, it's trying to tell you something. For example, if you have a pain over your kidney in your back, but it's not a pain yet, it's just like a heat sensation, that's telling you that you're not, well, let me rephrase this because I don't want the government to come out of you. From my experience to come after me, from my experience, what I found is it's typically a symptom that you're not taking in enough water, and that's like having a pump in a fish pond, and the fish pond's dry, and the pump pumps and pumps and pumps till finally it burns itself up. You need to make sure you have enough water. Electrolytes are what holds the charge. Water's what carries it. So also, if you have some symptoms of fatigue, you know, ask your doctor to check your electrolytes. Or if you have restless leg syndrome, or if you have funny breathing episodes where you feel like you can't get a good breath and you have to yawn or, you know, take a real deep breath, your electrolytes are probably off. It's probably something called dysautonomia, and for whatever reason, I don't know, doctors don't ever tell you that dysautonomia exists. But it's an issue that involves the mitral valve. The flap doesn't open and close as tightly as it should. As we get older, that tissue starts hardening, so it doesn't open and close as tightly, and it causes symptoms of fatigue, and it causes symptoms of depression, and it causes that funny breathing episode when you feel like you can't get a good breath, and it doesn't feel good. I mean, it feels like you're gasping for air. I know I have it, so that's why I know that this works. You know, talk to your doctors about that. Do some research on the internet. It's spelled dysautonomia. It's electrolyte issues, typically, you know, but talk to your doctor about it, or try cutting back some caffeine and sugar because stimulants cause it to be worse. Another thing I've noticed in doing some of my readings, if you're having some funny lightheadedness and you know you have some blood sugar issues going on, or you think that you might, when I've been doing my readings, I found that almost every person that has diabetes pending in their etheric field has something that goes on with the top of their foot. Now, I don't know what that is. I just hear in my head that they've got something going on with the top of their foot, and when I say that, they go, yeah, I do. It's a subtle thing, but it's still something that's going on there. And I don't know what it is. I just know that it's telling you that diabetes is down the road. So be sure you talk to your doctor about you know, keeping that blood sugar checked and cutting back on your sugars and the things that metabolize the simple sugars, and watch those sugar levels. If you get those fainty things, or you have fatigue and you don't quite know what it is, and you have that pain over your kidney, it's telling you something. Go and see your naturopath about it. Tell them that you have those symptoms. Another thing that I've found when I do my readings is a lot of the people that, if you've ever had antibiotics, you're almost bound to have residual antibiotics that get in your system. And for whatever reason, Western medicine doctors blow this off. But every time I do a reading for people, I find that they have candida issues, and they go to their doctors and confirm it, of course. You don't do anything because I say it, because I'm just a little medical intuitive. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I just tell you what I hear in my head. But I do know my track record. So I found that the people that have candida issues end up having the material between their joints and their disc eaten away. So if you have joint and disc problems, ask your doctor or your naturopath, you know, to check on candida levels and see what they find there, because there are lots of alternative things you can do to get rid of that. Another problem that a lot of people that have sleep issues, I've found to be too sensitive to all the artificial energy, the EMF fields that are going around. If you want to read some really interesting work on this, a friend of mine, Dr. Jim Beal, B-E-A-L is his last name, and he's in Texas. He's written a lot of research on this, particularly about disease in women. So there's a lot of information on his website about EMF fields and sleep problems and brain tumors and things like that that you can look to there to get some helpful resources. Let's see what else. I'm having to kind of fill in tonight. I wasn't prepared to have to do all this talking. I know people that have fibromyalgia issues, neuralgic kind of issues, I'm finding that when they use these glyconutrients and rebuild their receptors, they get amazing relief from some of the pain. I found that a lot of them even tell me that the symptoms go away. Another thing I want to tell you about is if you've ever been touched inappropriately, particularly if you're a woman, please, please pay attention to the subtle symptoms. Over and over and over again when I do readings, I find that the people that have been touched inappropriately, and it kind of, you know, I've only had this for 3 years, so I'm still learning, but it seems like if it's been a caretaker issue, they have more uterine and ovarian and breast problems. Breast primarily, but also ovarian and uterine problems. If you have any tenderness from your armpit down or across your breast, or you have any discharge, that's telling you something. Disease will present in your life to the same amount that the problems bother you. If you have a lot of resentment, it'll present quickly. But people that have been raped in particular or abused severely by inappropriately touching, also watch your cervix over and over and over again. I find people that's had severe touching incidences, molestation incidences with breast cancer, and with their cervix. Please, please keep a check on that every 6 months. I've had too many people call me back and tell me, oh, my God, now it's here, when they didn't believe it was here. It happens. I don't know. Well, we do know why, because the way the neurotransmitters and the neuropeptides fire, but that's what happens. And probably 7 out of 10 people that have been touched inappropriately do end up getting breast cancer or cervical cancer. So please watch that. Men, you need to watch your reproductive organs as well. But moreover, it's in the women. Another thing, if you've been not nurtured as a child in the manner in which you need to be nurtured and you resent it a lot, look again at your reproductive organs. Women, your uterus and your ovaries, you know, endometriosis, adenomyosis, cysts, polyps, uterine cancer. Those are the underlying issues. And with all of these things, forgiveness is the key. Because forgiveness, you know, stopping the firing of those chemicals, the firing of those neurotransmitters, will stop the chemical firing. not to mention going to your doctor and investigating alternative medicines. They do work. Let's see, what else can I tell you about today? Oh, if you have soft tissue injury of your back, your hips, and your legs, it's typically because you have lack of emotional support in your life. That mostly manifests in women. And if you worry about money, you'll probably, you know, worry about it all the time. You'll probably have problems going on with the bony fragments of your back, your hips, and your legs. Disease, like I just want to reiterate this again, disease starts presenting about 10 years before it gets here. Pay attention to these symptoms, people. You do not have to have disease in your body if you listen. You don't have to have cancer down the road. You don't have to have that hip replaced if you just listen to your body when it first starts telling you. A random pain here and there is telling you something. The brakes on your car don't just go out. They start squealing first. Then they start grinding. Then finally, they just don't stop at all. So your body starts squealing at first. And it starts grinding. Then it stops working. So listen to it. Listen to the subtle symptoms, because they are trying to tell you something. And you can do something about it. Nothing has to happen. The mind is a powerful thing. You're in control of your health. You're in control of the life of you and your family. And you're in control of the state of the world. Now, agape, people, agape, my friends. If you have any questions about anything I said on this show, please feel free to email me. My email address is evaher@gmail.com. All of my information is on my website, which is www.evaher.com. Agape, and please pass that on to the next person you see, because what goes around does come around, and it's not just an old saying. We have science to support it now. Good night, and I hope you'll come back and be with me next week.